يلا نكمل.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail. We are on Babu man dhukira indahu an-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam falam yusalli alayhi. The chapter about man dhukira indahu an-Nabiy alayhi salatu wasalam, the one before whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned. Falam yusalli alayhi, and he will not say salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not proper from what we heard in the class yesterday. It is not proper as the name of the Prophet was mentioned, and the individual will hear it. He is not deaf or dumb. He heard his name pronounced, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he will not say the salat on him. This is not proper at all. We read the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, where the Prophet told us that al-bakhil, the individual who has, he carries in him every trait of twist, fit, to have fist, close fistedness, that is stinginess, every trait of stinginess. Someone who is stingy is the one who he has the right the rights of the people to them, deliberately holy. So he knows all the virtues, he knows all the descent of the Prophet, everything the individual will not be a bakhil. And it is not lawful to be a bakhil if the individual will not be a bakhil. And he should not be a bakhil. He should not be stingy. You should not have closed fists. Someone who does not give when it is due for him to give. So if you would not be a bakhil, and it is not lawful to be a bakhil, then it is not lawful for you that when you hear the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you don't say the salat on him. This is not proper at all. For us to understand the gravity of hearing the Prophet mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam and not saying the salat on him, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned that hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam climbed, he went on his pulpit, his minbar, from the first level of it. As he took the first step upwards, he said Ameen. As he took the second upwards, he said Ameen. And as he took the third step upwards, he said Ameen. From the last one, the Prophet explained why he was saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. On each of the times that he took a step up the staircase, why was he saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen? He explained, he said, Jibreel alayhi salam said to him that Shaqiya abdun dhukirta indahu walam yusalli alayk. Shaqiya abdun, a servant is truly, truly wretched. Wretchedness, backwardness, disgrace is truly affirmed regarding an individual. Loss is really affirmed. Shaqiya abdun, a servant is really at loss. Why is he at loss? Dhukirta indahu, you Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you were mentioned before him. He heard your name being mentioned. Walam yusalli alayk, and he would not say the salat. He would not say the salat on you. Ikhwa, this is not proper at all. Jibreel makes a dua against the one who will hear the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This statement can even be understood to mean a declaration of his condition rather than a dua. That his condition is that he is at a loss. So it can be understood as a jumla that has insha'u inside it. And it can be understood to mean that it was just an expression of the condition of the individual, like a khabar, shaqiya abdun. There's a servant. He is a shaqiy. What did he do? Dhukirta indahu, you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were mentioned in front of him. Walam yusalli alayk, and he will not say the salat on you. So this makes us understand that it is not proper at all. If wretchedness is something everybody will avoid, if loss is something that everybody will avoid, then everyone should avoid hearing the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And then you do not say the salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, in our own times, it may be that you are busy reading a message on WhatsApp. It may be because you are busy reading a post on Facebook. It may be that you are reading a tweet on the Twitter. It may be any of what we do today that lack proper essence that will prevent you from answering when you hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. It will prevent you from saying salat on him. We know that all of these are from the actions that are unlawful. Jibril said, alayhi salam, that shaqi abdun dhukirta indahu walam yusalli alayk. Shaqi abdun, the individual is already in wretchedness. May Allah protect each and every one of us from wretchedness. That is Hadith 644. In Hadith 645, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا إبراهيم بن موسى قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن جعفر قال أخبرني العلاء عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه أشرا من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه أشرا. الإمام البخاري took this hadith from his Shaykh إبراهيم ابن موسى أبو إسحاق الرازي ورحمه الله. إبراهيم ابن موسى, his kunya was أبو إسحاق الرازي. He said حدثنا إسماعيل ابن جعفر, that is the Imam Ismail ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Kasir. He is also Abu Ishaq al-Ansari. Ismail ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Kasir, his kunya is also Abu Ishaq. He is from the Ansar. He said, Akhbarani al-Ala'u. Al-Ala' is the well-known sheikh from the people of Medina, Abu Shibl al-Madani, that is Al-Ala'u ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, well-known from the scholars of Hadith, Al-Ala'u ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub. His father's name was Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub. His own name was Al-Ala'u. And his kunya was Abu Shiblin, and he was always ascribed to Medina. So he is Abu Shiblin al-Madani from the scholars of Medina. He was reporting this hadith an Abihi from his father. Who is his father? Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, rahimahullah, well-known Tabi'i from the students of Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. Al-Ala's father was well known from amongst the students and the companions of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Regarding Abu Huraira and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the interaction was well known. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet from about the 7th year of Hijrah. He never left him till he died. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. Abu Huraira would be with him, he will stay with him, he will write what the Prophet will say alayhi salatu wa salam. He wasn't even going to the market to make any earnings. He was absolutely completely with the Prophet in the masjid sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Whenever the Prophet emerged from his house, he emerged in the presence of Abu Huraira. Wherever he went, Abu Huraira was with him, radiyallahu anhu. So we know that relationship between Abu Huraira and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Abu Huraira say, ascribing it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? He said, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal." Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub said, his father, Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, reported from Abu Huraira أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة anyone who sends the salat to me واحدة if you send one salat yani salatan wahidatan man salla alayya salatan wahidatan you say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam or you say alayhi salatu wa salam or you read other fuller versions of as-salatu ala nabi that is known from the Nabi himself alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions radiyallahu anhum. The reason I said that was when the verses that teach that we should say salat on the Prophet Muhammad came down alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions went to him to ask him, we know how to say taslim because the verse said sallu alayhi wa sallimu. As for wa sallimu, which is taslim, we know how to say it. How do we say salat on you? He taught them how to say salat on him. Ikhwa, when you say salat, say the salat that the Prophet taught the people. This is how to say salat on me. It is from the aspects of explaining a verse of the Quran. He explained it. He taught them how to say it. So say it following what the Prophet has taught in the manner that he has taught on how to say salat on him. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Or at most, you say the salat in the way that the companions radiallahu anhum will say salat on him, the way that the companions will say salat on him, that is the way you should say salat on him, the way that he taught the companions radiallahu anhum, that is the way you should say salat on him. It will protect you from the error of saying salat on him in a way that is wrong. If you follow the one that he taught, it will protect you from being upon wrongness while intending an act of worship. You will now be making a mistake. If you follow what he taught and what his companions did do, you would have protected yourself from the errors of the various forms of extremisms that the people have introduced into the expressions of As-Salatu ala Nabi. There are various versions called various names that have been coined by various kinds of people in the various generations. Don't fall into all of these. Stick to what he taught and stick to what his companions were upon. Radiallahu anhum, you would have been protected from falling into the errors of extremisms regarding Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, man salla alayya wahidatan, anybody who says salat to me once, one salat, you say, oh Allah, mention Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the best of gathering. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Do you know that is the meaning of what you say? If you say salat on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you are asking Allah, mention, praise Muhammad, extol his virtues in the best of gatherings. You are saying that Allah should praise, honor, show esteem for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the gatherings of the Malaika. we explain to us how so honorably that would be, that a person is mentioned in the biggest gathering of the people. Take it that the eminent people are seated in the community, and then the individual is mentioned with goodness. It is a big, big, big favor from Allah. As for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when you ask Allah an yusalli alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, what you are saying is that, oh Allah, mention Muhammad in the best of gatherings, the gatherings of the malaika. Mention him, praise him there, extol his virtues, show to the people in those gatherings, so show to the people of the heavens in those gatherings that Muhammad is a person of honor. So that honor, if you do this once for the Prophet, you ask Allah to do this once for the Prophet. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi ashra, Allah will reward you with the tenfolds of that. The scholars have variously explained what does it mean, sallallahu alayhi ashra. Allah will say salat on you too 10 times. Some say it means that Allah will shower his blessings, which are the rewards of what you said he should do to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has reward, those reward. Instead of giving you one reward, Allah will give you 10 rewards. Some scholars explain it like this. Others say this hadith means that the like of what you said he should do to Muhammad, he will do it to you too. You said he should mention Muhammad in the best of the gatherings, alayhi salatu wasalam, the gatherings of the malaika. They say that Allah will mention you too. He will make you become a thing of mention in the best of gatherings. Brothers, sisters, hear this. If you are used to saying salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the rewards that you will gain is that Allah will bless you, that you will also be mentioned in eminent gatherings. Why? Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. Rewards come from the kinds of deeds that you make. If the kind of deed we make is to beg Allah to mention the Prophet in the best gatherings, how will he reward you? Allah will reward you such that you also will be mentioned in the best of gatherings. If you want to have good mentioning amongst the people, you want Allah to make you a person, when people mention you, they make dua for you. Increase in salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Mention, when you do this, Allah mentions you in the gatherings of the malaika. Allah showers the rewards on you in tenfolds, and Allah will make you also, you will gain mentioning amongst eminent respected people. You will gain good mentioning. Why? You were begging Allah to mention the Prophet in the best of gatherings. So you will get that too, whether amongst the people or amongst the angels. Various explanations, and Allah knows best, ikhwah. All the explanations are appropriate. Whether Allah will give you the reward for your action in tenfolds, whether Allah will mention you in tenfolds in the gatherings of the malaika, or that in tenfolds Allah will make you a person that people will be mentioning upon goodness, this hadith encompasses all these meanings. There is no meaning that can be left out. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة. Anyone who says salat on me once, Allah will give him the tenfolds of that. So this is me going to say that if you know all these huge rewards, why then should he be mentioned before you? And then you keep quiet, you don't say anything. They will call his name, maybe in a discussion, maybe in a lesson, maybe in a lecture, maybe. And you will become too busy to say salat on him. It is not lawful and it is not appropriate. May Allah protect us. I think we can proceed to Hadith 646. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن عبيد الله قال حدثنا ابن أبي حازم عن كثير يرويه عن الوليد بن رباح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رقى المنبر فقال آمين آمين آمين. قيل له يا رسول الله ما كنت تصنع هذا؟ فقال قال لي جبريل رجم أنف عبد أدرك أبويه أو أحدهما ولم يدخله الجنة. قلت آمين. ثم قال رجم أنف عبد دخل عليه رمضان لم يغفر له. فقلت آمين. ثم قال رجم أنف امرئ ذكرت عنده فلم يصلي عليك. فقلت آمين. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah. Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah رحمه الله المدني. He said حدثنا ابن أبي حازم. ابن أبي حازم, his name was عبد العزيز ابن أبي حازم, and his kunya was أبو تمام. Look at that beautiful kunya, أبو تمام. You know, we always say تمام when something is perfect and complete. He is Abu Tamam. His name was Abdul Aziz. So he was Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Hazim Abu Tamam al-Madani. He was reporting it from one of the scholars of Medina also. This isnad carries the scholars of Medina. All of them are from the scholars of Medina. Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah kana madaniyan. عبد العزيز ابن أبي حازم كان مدنيا. كثير ابن زيد. كثير ابن زيد أبو محمد was also from the scholars of Medina رحمهم الله. Now كثير ابن زيد يرويه عن الوليد بن رباح, is reporting this hadith from الوليد ابن رباح, who was also from the scholars of Medina, and he was reporting from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Each time we read an isnad like this, I always have a feeling that it is not possible to be knowledgeable without learning. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, innama al-ilmu bita'allumi. Knowledge can only be acquired by learning it. Knowledge can only be attained by learning it. If you learn, you become learned. Innama, the only way knowledge can be acquired, the only way knowledge can be achieved or attained is by learning it. And you cannot learn it without a teacher. Look at all of this. Look at this ummah. Every person, I took this knowledge from so and so person, I took this knowledge from so and so person. I took this knowledge from so and so person. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, innama al-ilmu bita'allumi. Knowledge can only be acquired by gradually learning it. And then you must, of course, take that from a teacher. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at that again. Abdullah ibn Abbas learned what we want to say now from the Prophet. Knowledge will always come from somewhere to somewhere. Knowledge will always come from a teacher to the student. It does always have to be with the teacher to the student, whether directly on the lips of the teacher or indirectly from the books of the teacher. You could be reading a book by a scholar, the way we are reading the book of Al-Imam al-Bukhari now. And it can also be the combination of the two. You are studying from the teacher from inside a book. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Tasma'oon. You are listening to me now. You are hearing me now. Yusma'u minkum. It will be heard from you too. Wa yusma'u mimman sami'a minkum. It will also be heard and listened to from those who heard and listened to you. So he said, Tasma'oon. This is the level of the companions. They were listening to the Prophet and learning from him. Radiallahu anhu. Yusma'u minhum. He said, Yusma'u minkum. It will be heard from you. That was the way the Tabi'un were listening to and hearing from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, wa yusma'u mimman sami'a minkum. It will also be heard and taken from those who listen to those who listen to you. Those are the atba'u tabi'in. That is isnad the Prophet was establishing for us. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu heard from the Prophet. In this isnad, Al-Walid ibn Rabah was the one who heard from the person who heard from the Prophet. And Kathir ibn Zayd al-Madani Abu Muhammad was the one who heard from the one who heard from the one who heard from the Prophet Muhammad. That is the meaning of isnad. Our religion is acquired. The knowledge of our religion is attained by learning it. Like I said earlier, you learn from the teacher directly, like the companions learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you study from the books that have come from the teacher, just like you had Mukhadramun or the Tabi'un. They would read the Quran, take the meanings of the Quran from those who learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could also read the Quran. They could. That's why knowledge can also be studied from books. Or you combine the two. You have a teacher, you have good books. And that is the best, to have teacher and then good books. Good teacher, read good books to us. This is the way knowledge is transmitted in our religion. You have a teacher, good books. You get good knowledge. May Allah forgive each and every one of us and teach us good knowledge. From the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always say, Allahumma alimni ma yanfa'uni. Oh Allah, teach me what will benefit me, because some knowledge are not beneficial. There are aspects of knowledge that are not beneficial at all. So he said, Allahumma alimni ma yanfa'uni. Oh Allah, teach me the knowledge that will be beneficial to me. Wanfa'ani bima allamtani. The ones that you had taught me before. make them beneficial to me. Wazidni ilma, O Allah, increase my knowledge. May Allah accept this dua for all of us. So what we have learned so far from Abu Huraira, he said, radiyallahu anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, raqa al-mimbar, he climbed on a mimbar on the pulpit. We described the Prophet's mimbar to us. The mimbar only has three steps. One, step one. Two, step two. Three, step three. Up. And the steps will be facing the congregation. The step will not face the Qibla. The steps, as it goes up, as the Imam ascends the mimbar, he will be backing the Jama'ah. So when he gets at the top of the mimbar, he now turns to face the Jama'ah. Please let us note how the mimbar should be. So one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raqa al-mimbar, he climbed on the mimbar. Faqala ameen, ameen, ameen. Then he said, ameen, ameen, ameen. Ikhwa, let us take about three lessons here. The first lesson, Ikhwa, is that statement, ameen. Somebody may be asking, what is the proof for saying ameen? This is one evidence that ameen is an expression that is well known in our religion. Ameen. We are not saying ameen because Christians are saying amen. No. Muslims, we say ameen because from the teachings of our religion is to say what? Ameen. So you can ask, where in the Quran or Hadith does it occur that we should say ameen? One of them is this in the Hadith. The Prophet was saying, ameen, ameen, ameen. So ameen is an expression of our religion. So when you type ameen, know that you are typing it. You are saying something that is from our own religion as Muslims. The second major point I like us to take from this is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this report, Abu Huraira just said, he said ameen three times. He did not say what he was doing when he said ameen. We get that from the last hadith of Jabir, that Jabir said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falamma raqad darajat al-ula, when he placed his step up on ad-darajat al-ula, the first step, he said ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma araqa thaniya, when he placed his leg on the second one, he said ameen again. Thumma araqa thalitha, likewise when he went on the third one, he said ameen. In the report of Jabir, he told us it was one step after the other that he was saying ameen. In the report of Abu Huraira, he said ameen, ameen, ameen three times. The benefit in that is that when you gather the various reports of a hadith, they make a clearer picture of the event. What did I say? When you gather the various reports of a hadith, what do you gain? They create a bigger picture of the event. What did I say again? When we gather the various reports of a hadith from a companion, from two companions, from three companions, the details of what actually happened become more. We get more information. In this report of Abu Huraira, he said ameen three times. Ameen, ameen, ameen three times. He did not say what did he do. Jabir told us, he said the first one when he took the first step up the stairs. He said the second one when he took the second step up the stairs. Meaning that the more reports you get, the more details you have, and the better the picture of the event that we get. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are other benefits. The third benefit I wanted to mention was that look at this Ameen. It does not have a shadda on the meme. Many times when people recite Suratul Fatiha during Salah, the Imam would say, Ghayril Maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. People say, don't draw it. It has only two extensions. Two, just like you want to call Adam. Two. Then the meme does not have a shadda. Don't say me. We hear that. It is Ameen. It is Ameen. It is not this extension is too long. The second mistake, people put a shadda on that meme, and it is not lawful. It is Ameen. What does Ameen mean? That is, what does this word Ameen? What does it mean? The ulama explained that it means Allahumma stajib. Oh Allah, answer this prayer. Oh Allah, answer. Oh Allah, grant it. This is the meaning of Ameen. A young boy, a young girl can stop you. Daddy, this Ameen we are saying, what does it mean? It means Allahumma stajib. Oh Allah, answer it. Oh Allah, grant it. So when we make a dua, we say Ameen. What are we saying? We are saying that, oh Allah, this dua, answer it. So these are the things I like to quickly mention at that point. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he climbed the minbar. The first one, he said Ameen. The second one, he said Ameen. The third one, he said Ameen. Qila lahu ya Rasulallah. It was said to him, O Messenger of Allah, Ma kunta tasna'u hadha. You did not used to do something like this. You did not used to do something like this. Ma kunta tasna'u hadha. You did not used to rise on your mimbar, one, stage two, stage three, saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen on each of the stages. In another expression, the companion said to him that we had not heard, so we have heard, Sami'ina minka al-yawma shay'an. Ma kunna nasma'uhu. The companion said, Sami'ina minka al-yawma shay'an. We have heard something from you today. Ma kunna nasma'uhu. Ma kunna nasma'u. We did not used to hear it from you before. This is a lesson. If you see your teacher, if you see your sheikh, especially if he's a person of sunnah, if he does something, ask him why he did what. Ask, quickly ask sheikh, is there something in that? Abu Huraira asked, the companions asked, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, Ma kunta tasna'u hadha. You did not used to do something like this for call. Then the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Qala li Jibreel. Jibreel said to me that Ragima anfu abdin adraka abwayhi aw ahadahuma lam yudkhilhu al-jannah. Ragima anfu abdin. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ragima anfu abdin. This ragam, I want to explain the expression, Ragima anfu abd. Ragima anfuhu. When you say Ragima, ragam itself means to rub, sand, dust. Sometimes some scholars say when it is even mixed with clay, you know how dirty it will be, clay, watery. So a ragam, when they say his nose is in a rogam, the man had his nose in rogam, orogima and fuhu. His nose is on a rogam. What it means is that his nose is brought to dust and dust and clay, like he's put down, he is disgraced, he is in zul, he is demeaned, he is insulted. So when he say rogima anfu abdin, may an individual be disgraced, or that the individual is a disgraced person. So it may mean a dua. But because Jibril was saying Amin, Amin, we understand that it's a dua. May the individual be disgraced. May Allah protect us from disgrace. May Allah protect us from insult. May Allah protect us from demean. Jibril said, alayhi salam, Arogima anfu abdin. Adraka abawayhi, this individual, adraka abawayhi aw ahadahuma, he met his both parents or one of them, and he's meeting them, lam yudkhil ul jannah, he did not by that gain entrance into al jannah. You are alive, your mother is alive, your father is alive. You could not do the deeds of Al-Jannah regarding them. It is absolutely inappropriate. Ikhwa, take care of your parents. Ahaduhuma aw kilahuma, one or any one of the two of them put together. Either one of them or the two of them put together. Make sure that you do the deeds of Al-Jannah with your parents. How? Providing them support, providing them comfort, providing them company. Many parents, like we mentioned in class yesterday, are suffering from loneliness. The children, they have japa, they have run away. Even when they ran away, they got so busy with work and studies abroad. So the parents are alone at home. Brothers, please keep your parents in company. Find time to come and visit your parents. Nobody will do that for you. Come home, visit your parents regularly. Nobody will do that for you. Stay with them. Eat with them. Smile with them. Talk to them. Go out with them. Go out for salawat with them. Pray with them. Listen to them. Pay attention to them. Some people are so far away from their parents, such that they just obtain a nurse. They give the poor nurse 30,000 naira, 50,000 naira, and they think that they have done it all. My dear brother, you have not done it all. And it will be unfortunate when your parents die and then you cannot obtain Al-Jannah for them. There's a curse upon you. What is the curse? Angel Jibril, Malak Jibril, alayhi salam, he said, may you be brought into disgrace. And Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen to it. So anybody who behaves like that, may Allah disgrace him. That is the meaning of that hadith. Those who abandon their parents, they don't even care. No hospital, no attention, no support. May they be disgraced. This is the meaning of this hadith. May Allah protect all of us. I always say, if you are falling short regarding a matter, you can always adjust. For me, the game is not over until it is over. You can always adjust if you know you have a fault like this. Brothers, please adjust. That is the essence of our coming to listen to these classes, so that we all can adjust. Please adjust if you need to adjust. That's why we have to tell you what we need to tell you, so that everybody will adjust as appropriate. May Allah forgive all of us. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Kultu Ameen. I said, Ameen, to that dua of Jibril. May Allah disgrace a man who met his parents and he could not be dutiful to them. And then he does not gain al-Jannah from dutifulness to his parents. May Allah disgrace such a person. The Prophet said, Ameen. Thumma qal. Thereafter, Jibril said, Ragima anfu abdin. Dakhala alayhi Ramadan. Lam yugfar lahu. Ragima anfu abdin. May dust and clay be brought to the nose of a man. Dakhala alayhi Ramadan. Ramadan came up upon him. Lam yugfar lahu. And he was not able to obtain forgiveness. He was poor in Ramadan. No nawafil. He was fasting, the fasting itself. As he was fasting, he was watching films. He was busy looking at haram. He was busy browsing Facebook. All that he was busy with were things of indecency. And then no tilawa of Quran. No lectures, no istighfar, no tawbah, no adhkar. He was just there in Ramadan until Ramadan went away. Everybody was sharing messages and encouraging themselves to be up on the last 10 days of Ramadan, especially the odd nights. He was busy sleeping because he does not care. Let Ramadan come and go. The hunger is too much. That was all he wanted from Ramadan. This kind of a person, may he be put to disgrace. Because he had all the opportunities, but he chose to waste them away. He's a disgraced, useless individual. May Allah protect us from wretchedness. In the report of Jabir, the expression was that the individual, such an individual, is shakiyun. It's a shakiya abdun. May he be wretched. May he be in loss. Here it is ragima anf. May he be disgraced. So you can see these are big sins. The sin of abandoning parents and the sin of not exploiting the month of Ramadan to gain forgiveness from Allah. You were playing Ludo. You were busy tweeting. You were busy TikToking in Ramadan until the month ended. May you be put to disgrace. This is the meaning of this hadith. May Allah protect us. Fakultu Amin. Jibril made that dua, and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ameen. The third one, which is the major point of reference for us, he said, Ragima anfu mri'in. May death and dust be brought to the nose of an individual. Zukirta indahu. You, Muhammad, was mentioned in front of him. Falam yusalli alik. And then he will not say salat on you. Brothers, ummahat, women, when you hear Muhammad say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a curse from Jibril alayhi salam, an angel, on those who will hear the mention of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and they will not say salat and salam on him. May they be disgraced. That is the meaning. Ragima anfu abdin. Or ragima anfu imri'in. May their nose be brought to shame. May they be brought to disgrace. May they be brought to demean. Why? They would hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be mentioned. Wala yusallu. He would not say salat on him. It's a big thing of shame. It shows that it is not lawful, it is haram, it's a sin. If you be cursed by an angel and a prophet to be saying, Amen, may Allah protect us. These three things were the same things we highlighted in class yesterday. Ikhwa, let everybody go and adjust regarding your parents. Start planning for the next Ramadan. How you want to spend Ramadan, you can go and spend it in Makkah from day one to the third day, to the fourth, to the fifth, to the 30th day. After all, Allah has blessed you with wealth. You don't need to stay on your job for 30 days. You have wealth. So plan a Ramadan. On every day of Ramadan, you'll be making tawaf. On every day of Ramadan, you make tawaf. Maybe after Salatul Asri or after Salatul Fajri, you make tawaf. You plan that on every day of Ramadan, at least you reread one juz of Quran. Meaning that in the entire Ramadan, you will complete the entire Quran once. If you read two juz, one juz after Fajr, another juz after Asr, you will complete the Quran two times in Ramadan. And you can read the Quran three ajza on every day of Ramadan. One juz after Fajr, one juz after Asr, one juz after Isha before Taraweeh. That means you would complete the Quran three times or thereabouts. If you read three juz in 10 days, you complete the Quran. So these are the kinds of plan we all should be making for Ramadan. The one who Ramadan comes and goes, oh, sadaqat, you have a lot of sadaqah. I saw somebody not far from where I live, the month of Ramadan. Wallahi, I am bamboozled. How he feeds people. Subhanallah. You see trucks coming to carry food, going to provide food for iftar for people fasting in Ramadan. I also heard about one of our very elderly and wealthy, may Allah continue to increase his wealth. He's the owner of the AP that we have now. Subhanallah, that was in Abeokuta. I saw the video of how he was feeding people in Ramadan. May Allah increase his wealth. Ikhwa, you too, find something within your means that you can do. Find something within your ability that you can do. Don't allow Ramadan to go and you did not do anything hoping to gain Allah's forgiveness from it. The third one is our parents, Ikhwa. Handle your parents well. Handle your parents well. You can't change your father. You cannot change your mother. You cannot change your father. You cannot change your mother. If you don't take care of them because you are looking for money now, when you get the money, what will you do with the money? You can't pay attention to your parents. You can't take them to the hospital. You can sit down with them, to gist with them, to hang out with them. Call it any name. Pay attention to them. They are lonely. They have so many things to say, but they don't have your ears on the ground. Ikhwa, adjust. The third thing is about saying Salatu ala Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is very bad habit. You will be in a gathering, people will be talking about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will not hear anybody saying Salatu on him. It's a sin. Anybody who hears his name and does not say Salatu on him, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a disgraced, useless individual. This is the lesson that we have learned today. May Allah make his beneficial to all of us. When we hear the name of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, we should say Salatu on him. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد الله باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أبا عبد الرحمن, I just looked at the time now and I saw that we even spent beyond the time. And we have a lengthy hadith to read, 647. I think we can stop here today. We'll come back, inshallah, to those narrations in the next class. Can we have the few questions we have? We already spent the time. I mean, Abu Abd al-Rahman. We already spent the time.
Yeah,
but perhaps we can take a few questions, inshallah.
The question here is, assalamu alaikum. How can a female who is married and Jannah through her parents while she is in her husband's house?
Every person has his own or her own contributions. One big way to do that is to ask your husband's permission from time to time to go and visit them as a woman. From time to time, like I said, money is useful, but your attention is better. Attention. The attention you can give a male may not be able to give it. The attention a woman can give to parents, a male child may not be able to give it. And the attention is bigger than money. The attention, elders need attention more than money. And that's why many men pray that Allah should give them daughters first before sons. Go and ask elderly people. They always ask Allah, give me daughters first before sons. They will say to you that the daughter has more time. She has more attention. She's not going to any office. All she needs is her husband's permission. And perhaps support from the husband. In this case, maybe from her brothers too. So that she can spend a little time in a day, within 2 days, every week, once a month, like this, from time to time, just within these limits of permissibility. So she goes there. It does not have to be about money. We make a lot of mistakes. We think all that matters is money. Attention is more important. You cannot buy attention. The care that a woman gives, you cannot buy it. I saw it. Because I spoke about elders, let me tell you what I heard from an elder, about 91 years old man. Somebody died near us when we were younger than this. He had children, but his first child was a girl, a woman. She left, she was living in Lagos. She's still alive till today. May Allah reward her for that goodness. She was with her father for the whole month or 2 months. She was there in the hospital taking care of the father. Now the ailment was such that the man was always having fizzes around him. That time, there was no Pampers, elderly people were now. So he would filter his body with fizzes. This girl will be packing it with her hand, with whatever, with put a small glove on her hand. Pack. Clean the father. My father would say, is that easy for a son? My father, look at what the sister is doing. So the brothers, when the woman wants to clean up the father, many times she will tell the brother, don't all of you go, I will clean it. And she will clean the father up. Then she will invite her brothers to come and see the father. It wasn't long. She did this for about 2-3 weeks. Then the father passed away. So usually women think that when we open up discussions like this about if I'm not working, if I'm not a CEO of a preneur, how will I? It is that your job that will prevent you from paying attention to your parents if you don't know. It is that waka waka saka 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 that women are busy with now. That is the very thing that will prevent them from this kind of a lofty attention provision for their parents. And they are there, they sit down with the father, they sit down with the mother, they listen to them. They are even the ones that will coordinate the boys in the family about the needs of the father and the mother. They are the ones that will say, oh, daddy needs so-so-so, mommy needs so-so-so. They coordinate gathering the money, and she makes sure that this job is done. So all of that should be done within the limits of the Sharia. So, but usually when questions like this ask behind this is that, oh, you always tell us that women should not be working. If we are not working, how do we take care of our parents? Care for parents, it is money that is the last one, and that is the job of your boys in your family. Please grow up your boys to know that they have a job. The boys, if they have a job. As for you, the women, you have your attention. Did you not hear that Allah said, in nasa'yakum la shatta, your efforts, wa ma khalaqa dhak, Allah swore by his creation of males and females. And then he said, in nasa'yakum, you men and women, your efforts, your means of seeking goodness and nearness to are different. What a man can do, a woman cannot do. What a woman can do, a man cannot do it. So everyone should seek Allah to do. Why is it that rich men, when they don't have women in their family, they go and hire a nurse to come and take their parents, take care of their parents? Nurse, because she's a woman, so she knows how to give the care. But when it is a man, it is not easy. So as a woman, you have these kinds of attention. You are not going to work, so all your attention, if you are not there physically, you are there calling them regularly. You call them regularly. Maybe there is a reason in the house. Your husband says, you can't go today. You can go at another time, but not today. You convert it. We are in the years and generations of calls now. Mommy, I can't come today. But how have you been? Did you go to doctor? Did you see the doctor? Doctor, did you call the doctor? Did you do this? Did you, okay, what would you need as a woman? Is any woman who is busy with delivery, is that the one who will be thinking about what happens to her mother? May Allah protect all of us.
Yeah, my brother. Another question is, may Allah preserve you upon for the deserving of heaven. Please, do we also respond, and in what manner? If the name of the Prophet was mentioned while praying Salah or reciting the Quran, according to some verses of the Quran?
If you are on Salat, we have not been taught by the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. If you are on Salat, the Prophet has not taught us to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't tell us that. We will not do that. People will fahim the last verse of it. Say Muhammad or Rasulullah. He deliberately stopped there. So everybody say sallallahu alayhi. Nobody sent you that one. Nobody sent you that. So likewise on the days of Jumu'ah, when the Imam is making khutbah, even though that's even lesser than Salat, because some of the scholars say you can say it silently on the days of Jumu'ah, when the Imam is on the minbar, because we are also prohibited from speaking, but the part is more emphatic than the prohibition of speaking on the day of Jumu'ah. It's been taught to say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We have not been taught to say that during Salah. But there is nothing prohibiting you after Salah. You can say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Salat, there is nothing preventing us from saying that. nothing prevents us after Salat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that one that you heard, nothing stops after Salat. So we have not been taught to say Salat on him. If we are on Salat, we've not been taught to say Salat and Salam on him. But you can say it after Salah. The same thing on the day's name. Some call us up loudly. No, we have not been told to say that. There is no proof that we should say that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or fuller versions of Salat to Allah Nabi alayhi salat was to respond. Likewise, if you are on Tilawa of Quran, you are alone making Tilawa to Quran. If you say Muhammadun Rasulullah, just like you can stop to respond to Taslim, until you stop your Tilawa. You give the response. To give a response is compulsory. The best of what you gain in your Tilawa is that it is encouraged. So you stop the Tilawa. You respond, and then you continue your tilawa. So you can count saying Salatu ala Nabi as from that. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walakin Rasulallah. Muhammadun Rasulullah. You say that. And I think somewhere in Suratul Ahzab, these are the three places that I remember that he was mentioned. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Yeah.
Jazakumullah khairan ya shaykh.
Ameen wa yantafillakum.
And this question is, regarding those that say during programs, Sallu ala nabiyyil kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the audience reply with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times. They may repeat that like three times. And at times, they will ask the audience to shout very well so that their voice can reach the heaven. If one finds the in or herself in this, that is it compulsory to respond to that? There's nothing of heaven.
The action is wrong. Telling us to say, Salu ala Nabi, it requires proof. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing Hajj with the people, he needed to talk to the generality of the people. What he would say is that ansit in nas. Al-Imam al-Bukhari deliberately brought it in Kitab al-Ilm in Sahih al-Bukhari. Make the people be silent. And then you start telling them, be silent, the Prophet wants to speak. Kareem from anyone, just know that the person is sick. What do you say? Answer to keep quiet, oh people. That was what the Prophet commanded should be done. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Say, Bilal, let the people keep quiet. It's also in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah. Let tell the people to keep quiet. Then you start telling the people, hey, keep quiet, keep quiet. The Prophet wants to speak. Or the head wants to speak, or the teacher wants to speak. Tell the people, keep quiet, keep quiet. They want to speak. So you can do that. But as for saying Salu ala Nabi, nobody send us that one. Okay. You are in a gathering and that statement was made, Nabi Yul Karim. They don't refer to anybody except the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You may not respond in their jamboree answer that they are expecting. But on your own, you can say Salat. Why? The name of the Prophet has been mentioned. So the name of the Prophet was mentioned. You can say Salatu ala Nabi on your own. You don't have to join the jamboree. And that jamboree of Salallahu together itself is an innovation. Because Salatu ala Nabi is zikr. And it is a zikr that everybody should say his own. Not be, no. It is a zikr that everybody should say on his own. So you say your own on your own. Don't join the jamboree response. Don't join the jamboree response. If you are in that kind of a gathering, you can say your own on your own silently. Why? ذُكِرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّكَ. So the Prophet has been mentioned in front of you, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you say, oh. So even though that action of theirs is improper, you don't go into a guilt. The Prophet has been mentioned. So you say, Salatu on him, عليه salatu wasalam. I hope that this is clear. See, they now say it three times because they want the heaven to shake. It is ignorance that is disturbing anybody who says that. Because the heavens will not shake anywhere because of your own shouting. Salatu ala Nabi Zikr. Go beyond limits in raising your voice. Wabitagu bayna dhalika sabila. In between. The voice in between. Don't shout when it is not adhan, when it is not talbiyah of hajj, where we are required to shout. You are just making dhikr on your own. Make it like that. But that one ignorant person tells you, shout! Are you Christians? Sometimes some Muslims like to behave like some Christians. They say, shout hallelujah! So, you too, you say, shout Salatu ala Nabi. It's ignorance. Don't follow them. Why you recite the Salatu ala Nabi? You don't need to follow that bandwagon effect. Follow that shout. You say it properly. In fact, say full Salat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Fully. Why? The Prophet has been mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam. But that you follow the voice, single voice, or the one shouting wants you to tear the heavens apart. Don't follow that kind of a bandwagon effect that lacks any basis. May Allah protect all of us. That's clear about Rahman.
Now, Jazakumullah khairan, Ya Sheikh.
Can we call it a day today? The time is really, really fast.
Now, Ya Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum.
I mean, right here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan.